Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan. Just a couple of notes of clarification. Whoever won the recording, I think there was three more tapes before that, but we wanted to make it easier for you. So there was somebody who said the name of it, actually. I'm really surprised. So we don't have a cassette to give you, though, brother. Alhamdulillah, I think I'm going to start off, inshallah, with a little story of something that happened to me just last night. Because as Brother Jiwan mentioned, we've been talking over the past 2 weeks about how exactly to address the topic of amusing ourselves to death. And those of you may be familiar with this book by Neil Postman called Amusing Ourselves to Death. And when the brothers told me and sisters told me that this was the topic of tonight, I immediately phoned my sister and said, "Do you have a copy of the book? I need to read it." And even last night at the youth program, Sister Yannette was asking me, "Did you read it?" And I said, "Yeah, I think tomorrow I'm going to read it all day." And then, as I did in high school and I've continued to do, I didn't read it at all. So I'm going to talk about it in my own way. And hopefully, inshallah, I'll get an A. Or at least a D. But I will touch on some of the aspects. I read the foreword on Sister Yannette's advice, and I think it gave me a bit of a spark as to where we're going. So I will start with a bit of a story. And all week we were debating what we should talk about, and it wasn't until last night I had an experience. And this morning as I was brushing my teeth, getting ready to come here, I thought, I know, I'll just tell the story of what happened last night to introduce the whole topic. Amusing Ourselves to Death by Dawood Warnsby Ali. I don't even know my name anymore. Last night, I had a very, very peculiar experience and experiment at the same time. Something that I hadn't experienced or experimented with for many years. In fact, it's been about 10 years, I think, since I was anywhere remotely near the situation that I was in last night. Never dreamt I'd be in the situation. And in fact, just in 10 years, I was amazed to see how different the experience was last night from when it was 10 years ago. How life and society has changed in 10 years. And I'll tell you what happened. We're working on a recording right now, trying to produce something with an Islamic bend for the mainstream market. And we thought it might be an interesting idea to gather up some talent of Muslim artists who are involved in the mainstream music industry, who don't get any recognition by the Muslims in the world. In fact, many Muslims in the world don't even realize that these people who are out in the general public and expressing themselves in a creative and spiritual way, many of us as Muslims don't even realize that these people are Muslims. And in fact, some of these brothers and sisters live like double lives. I got wind of the name of a brother who's raised in Canada and who is the drummer of a very popular North American, Canadian, Western rock band. Now, why the brother's playing in a rock band is not for us to judge or decide. The brother is a drummer and he's chosen to be part of a popular band, and Allah has blessed him with the opportunity to reach out to people all across Canada. So I thought, you know, it might be an interesting idea for me to get in touch with this guy. Because I remember one time he came to Kitchener and his band put on a concert, and on stage he quoted from Quran. And a friend of mine who was selling falafels near the concert stage was outraged. And I heard about this event from non-Muslims in another area where I was. They were talking and they said there was this band and the person was quoting from Quran, and somebody got so angry and they started this fight, and I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed as Muslims that we would let something like that happen. And I thought maybe I should contact this brother for twofold. One, to show him that he's put his talents into something that has the potential to reach out to people all across this country and that he shouldn't give up on his talents. And two, to reassure him that perhaps there's a way he can funnel his talents in a way that could benefit the Muslim community and in a way that could benefit society at large. And three, to let him know that there's a Muslim somewhere who might not agree with everything he does, but to at least encourage him to do what is right. Well, I found out that his band was coming back to Kitchener to play last night. And so I thought, I've got to get in touch with this guy. Try to get in touch with him through the music label, and that's hard. You can't get in touch with musicians through the label. It's hard sometimes. So I thought, let me go and get in touch with him at the place where his band is performing. And I knew that it was going to be like Fitna Land. And I knew that it was going to be spooky. I knew that it was going to throw me back to the old days when I was a musician. And nevertheless, when I left the Tariq Youth Group last night, 10 o'clock here we left, it took me an hour to get back to Kitchener, I said, I'm going to go and find this brother, and I'm going to say Salaamu Alaikum, and I'm going to see if he wants to do something, work together in some way, to work for the cause of Islam. Well, if you know anything about the music scene, and I hope that none of you do, The world doesn't start ticking at night until about 11 p.m. When most of us have just prayed Isha and we're ready to have our cup of chai and just, you know, settle into, you know, sleep. That's when the rest of the culture comes alive. And I pray that none of you has an opportunity to experience what I experienced last night. And I want to give you an example of how this society, and we are getting pulled into it, are amusing ourselves to death. Literally. It's not an over-exaggeration. I got back to KitchenArt about 11 o'clock, 11:15, ran home, brushed my teeth, got a copy of one of my CDs so I could pass it along to this brother, hoping he wouldn't laugh too loud. And I hit the road at 11:30 at night. I drove downtown Kitchener. Kitchener is a small little town. How many of you have been to Kitchener, Waterloo before? Little. I mean, what, 90,000 people in the city? Very small city. You start, you know, at one end of the drag, King Street, you drive for 2 minutes and you're at the other end of the drag. That's King Street, that's the nightlife in Kitchener. But you wouldn't believe it, between that 2 kilometer stretch, all the amusement that you have are strip clubs, bars, and arcades. Video game arcades. And for some reason, City Council keeps saying they're upgrading the downtown core of Kitchener-Waterloo area. But seriously, that is what you have in a 2 kilometer radius. That's it. So I drove down the main streets, and I was horrified. I was horrified. I'm not saying this as a judgment on the people who were there, but the only explanation I can give you as to what it felt like, and if any of you have ever by accident been downtown Yonge Street at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, it reminded me of when you walk into a room in the nighttime, and you flick on the light, and you see the cockroaches go. That's what it was like. The streets were packed, and the people were in and around, and the fitna. I wondered, subhanAllah, should I just turn around and go back? And something propelled me. I went and parked my car, and I made the big mistake of walking down to where the concert hall was, where this band was to be performing. By this time, it was about 11:45 at night. And I must have looked like a complete freak, because I didn't have my belly button hanging out, I didn't have any part of my body pierced, and there was no tattoos in my face or anywhere else. So I totally stuck out from everybody else who was there. And I kept thinking to myself, subhanAllah, this is what goes on while we sleep. This is what goes on while Muslims are at the masjid praying Isha and while we sleep. And the Tariq youth who leave here at 10:30 at night and go home, I said, alhamdulillah, they're here at 10:30 at night on a Friday night instead of an environment like this. And I was mystified and amazed to see this environment. And every few feet, there were two police officers in fatigue gear. We're not talking just, you know, out there with their hat. They were like dressed in fatigues, in pairs, every, you know, 25 feet or every, you know, there was two. That's how much patrol it needed. And I passed by the theater where the band was playing, and I didn't even look at it. I just said, subhanAllah, I'm not even going to go near that place. I felt safer to go around the block and go in the back alleyway of the theater. Pitch black alleyway, light came on when I went back there. I felt safer to sit in the pitch black alleyway at 12 o'clock at night and wait by the stage door than to be out the front on the street. And one of the things I noticed about the people walking around the streets, and if you've ever been downtown Yonge Street, even in the middle of the daytime, you'll notice that people's faces are blank. There's no smiles. There's no happiness. There's no joy. There's blank. And not only that, but there's hostility. There is frustration. There is anger. There is aggression. There is people yelling at one another. There is the smell of alcohol, the smell of pot, and the smell of urine in the street. And as I found out as I walked by an alleyway and looked up and happened to see a gentleman relieving himself right there on the sidewalk. That's why when you go out in the morning, sometimes downtown Toronto, they're sweeping the sidewalks because the filth accumulates during the night. Sitting back there for 2.5 hours in the dark, listening through the door, I was able to, when the show let out, meet some of the people who were in enjoying the show and pass by and watch them and see the blankness on their face. They were all decked out to the hilt, sequins and you know, I mean, but just this blank. Alhamdulillah, finally, at around 2:30 in the morning, had an opportunity to meet the brother. And the brother wasn't with any of the other people. He was by himself, loading the truck, smile on his face, hanging out with some of the other roadies. Very much detached from the other people. Alhamdulillah. I said, salamu alaikum to the brother, and we talked, and I said to him, I sent you an email about this part. He said, I'm in! Count me in! I knew that there had to be somebody who understood. I knew there had to be somebody who would be able to appreciate something that I had to offer. And he was more than willing to get involved and to do something for Muslims. And up until then, all he had with difficulty for Muslims. Let me rewind a little bit with the talk, and I'll come back to that story. What is amusement? Tell me what amusement is. Anybody know? How would you define amusement? Yeah. Something that's funny. Very good. What else? Yeah. Something enjoyable. MashaAllah. Anything else? Yeah. Pleasure. Yeah, one more. Fun. Last one. Something society has told us may be fun, even though it may not necessarily be. Good. Okay. The word amusement has the word muse in it. What is a muse? Anybody ever heard that term, amuse? Not the term amuse, but the term muse. What is a muse? If you study Greek mythology or Roman mythology, you may know what a muse. In ancient times, the muse was the... Of course, we are Muslim, we know that this is all garbage. But the muse was considered to be like the god or the representative of the gods who would watch over mankind and would come into our lives to inspire us. And in fact, in Japanese mythology, the muse was, it was understood that the muse was feminine and that the muse would inspire the poets and the singers and the painters, give them, whisper to them ideas of things that they could paint and draw to express themselves. And if a male mortal man married a woman, that muse who inspired him would get jealous and pull away his talent and wouldn't give him any more inspiration. You know? And this is why they claim that poets and singers and people who were part of the arts, you know, they could never carry on relationships because the muse would get jealous. So the muse was that thing that would inspire a different view on the world, would inspire poetry, would inspire pleasure. And the word amuse comes from that root, implying that amusements are those things that should inspire pleasure. They should bring us pleasure, the way you amuse a child. If you amuse a child, do you put it in front of the TV to watch The X-Files? A three-year-old child, are they going to be amused watching a show like, you know, The X-Files? No, because the child's not going to understand it. You amuse a child by playing peekaboo. You amuse a child by chasing the child around or getting something fuzzy to play with because you want the child to laugh. Because the point of amusement is to bring pleasure. Why do we go to an amusement park? How many of you have gone to an amusement park before? Why do you go to an amusement park? Why do you want to ride on the big rides, on the big roller coasters? Why do you want to ride on the biggest Ferris wheel? Why do you want to ride on the rides that take you upside down? Why do you want to go on those things as amusement? Yeah. Fun, but what else? Go deeper than that. What happens when you go on a roller coaster? Whoa! What happens to your stomach? Yeah. What's that? Adventure. What about the adventure do you like? What stimulates you? Yeah. The excitement. What is excitement? Where does excitement come from? Yeah. It's a thrill. Because amusement, the reason why it's an amusement park is because it gives you pleasure, and the pleasure that it gives you is the pleasure of being able to experience a reality that you don't normally experience. It's the fact that it brings you into the moment. You experience your mortality. You know, when the roller coaster goes, whoa, and you feel it, it's because you're, oh, I'm alive. For the last 3 weeks at work, I thought I was dead, but now I feel I got a gut inside of me because I almost looked at it. You know, you can feel alive. It highlights your senses. You feel more, you see more, you hear more, you sense more. It's about coming to life. So amusing ourselves, as we talked about before, Brother Juwan, is not haram. Sometimes we get caught in a rut, and that's part of life too. Working hard, getting our tasks done, getting bored sometimes. That's part of life. Amusement is part of life. It's trying to look at different side of life that gives you pleasure. So that when you go back to life, the boring part of life, you can deal with it, you can work it through. It's an equal balance that we have to try and maintain. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad, may peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, his style of amusement was built upon that understanding. That amusement is something that should give you a sense of happiness, of joy, and of connection with your Creator by token of the fact that it makes you feel alive. And all of the things that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did as amusement, or encouraged people to do in amusement, were things that made them feel alive. Take for example Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam racing with Aisha. You know? Racing, running. When you run, you feel that pain that comes in your side if you're out of shape like me. Or you feel your muscles get tense when you're running. You feel the wind in your hair or in your hijab. You feel the breeze on your face. You feel alive, and it's all over, and you pant for breath. You feel, my God, if I don't catch my wind, I'm going to pass out. You feel being alive. So that's what he wanted people to experience. He also moderated amusements. Like the times when he encouraged people to sing songs. And there were times when he encouraged the camel driver not to sing songs, to back off a little. You have to be moderated. You have to know the proper place and the proper time. He encouraged people to be kind in their amusements. He said a Muslim is that person who you should never fear what comes out of their mouth or from their hand. So even when you are having fun and jesting, you should never do something to hurt your brother or your sister. He encouraged truthfulness in his amusement. Truthfulness. He would never joke with people and tell lies in the process. He would joke in a truthful way. Put his hands over the eyes of his sahaba who was in the square selling things, and covered the sahaba's eyes and called out, "Who wants to buy a slave?" You know, the slave of Allah. You know, with love, he had amusement and joy. He urged his sahaba sometimes to go without shoes. It's a lesson in humility, and because you can feel the earth beneath your feet. You can feel it between your toes. It's coming to terms with reality. And he encouraged amusement in the group. You know, like for example, when they were building the mosque in Medina, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was part of the labor. They were working, they were bored. But he was singing. He started singing a little song to help the work go by faster. The amusement lightens the load. Let's look at our concept of amusement. Our concept of amusement is completely the opposite. We walk around with amusement with blank faces, like the people I saw last night. They think they're going out to have a good time. But what are they doing? They're competing with one another in dress and demeanor. They're competing with one another. They're jealous of one another. They go out and deck themselves up, but when somebody looks at their girl the wrong way, then they freak out and want to pick a fight. It's not amusement. It's a challenge. It's a race. It's a fight. It's a struggle. There's lies in our amusements. It's all about lies. Look at the television. Our amusement is built on lies. It's built on mockery. The way these comedians get up there and they put down this and they put down this person and they put down that person and they laugh and they pick fun at people in the audience. It's about mocking people. How creative can I be when I put you down and mock you? How creative can I be when I tell lies about somebody and make up lies about them, about the governments or about the people or about families or about different ethnic groups? It's about escape from reality. It's not about feeling the moment. And feeling that thrill that you feel, you know, when you're swimming in the water or when you're laughing with friends. It's not about that. It's about blanking out in front of the TV and feeling absolutely nothing. It's about sitting there and having absolutely no emotional response. And not being able to tell the difference between a horror movie or between the news. It's all of these things that are opposite to bringing pleasure and bringing motivation. Not only that, but when we look at our concept of amusement and how it's the complete opposite of what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did when he amused himself or amused other people, when we look at what we have to amuse ourselves, we find that it actually physically harms us. I was listening to the news just recently, and they were saying that children, primarily within the United States is where the survey was done, children at the age of 10 years old are beginning to acquire disabilities and debilitating obesity, lung problems, breathing problems, you know, all of these things. And they, what they attribute it to is the fact that these kids are sitting down in front of the computer, sitting down in front of the television, sitting down and not doing a thing. Just sitting. It's a case of amusement has been misinterpreted as meaning, okay, I'm going to sit here and you're going to entertain me. And that's amusement. Like I told my son when he was wanting to ride his bicycle and teaching him to ride his bike for the first time, he wanted to just sit on the seat and let me push him around. And after me pushing him around and getting a backache for, you know, so long, I finally said to him, "Imran, look, you don't like when your mother and I are always telling you, Imran, come here, Imran, come here. You don't like when we're always on your back. If you only knew how much freedom you'd have once you learn how to ride this bike. Once you learn how to ride this bike, you're going to be able to peel off down the street, and I'm going to say, Imran, come back. You're going to have so much freedom, But right now, you just want me to push you around. You just want me to push you around. You don't know what freedom, you don't know what amusement's all about. He said, but it hurts for me to pedal. It makes me tired to pedal. That, when you taste the wind in your hair, and you feel that freedom of being on your bike and saying, bye-bye, Dad, you're not going to feel tired to pedal that bike. You're going to be looking forward to pedaling that bike. So our amusement, sometimes we have to put a little bit of effort into it. Because my teacher used to always say in grade 7, bored people are boring people. So if our mentality of amusement is we sit back and say, entertain me, it's not amusement. It's lack of brain. So our environment and our society's misunderstood approach to what amusement is literally killing us. And I don't mean to sound melodramatic in that. I really want us all tonight, and perhaps through the discussion that we have as well with the panel, to look long and hard at the things that we are involved in our society that we consider amusement, or the easy way, or fun, and look at how they are killing us. I was out with my son yesterday. We were at the park, and it was Juma, and on Juma he's allowed to eat treats and sweets. So we went to the variety store, went to the little convenience store, and he wanted something to drink, and he wanted some ketchup chips. So I bought him some ketchup chips, and I bought him something to drink, and then I said, okay, it's Juma. I'm going to buy a Dr. Pepper. So I bought a Dr. Pepper. Anybody like Dr. Pepper here? People say it's like one of the most hated drinks in the world. Anyway, I like Dr. Pepper. And I was sitting there drinking the Dr. Pepper, and Imran wanted a sip. And my wife and I, we said, no, Imran, you're not allowed to drink carbonated pop until you hit 18. Because when Imran takes a little sip of pop, he's like a wild man. I mean, he's just, whew, sugar goes right to his head. So we forbid. But here I was drinking it in front of him. Is that fuzzy pop? Yeah, that's fuzzy pop. You like it? Yeah, I like it. Is it good for you? No, it's not good for me. Why are you drinking it? Because I like the flavor. I used to drink it when I was a kid, I said to him. So he said, what's in it? So I started reading the ingredients, couldn't pronounce half of them. And then he said, well, there's nothing good about it. I said, no, it's bad for your stomach. I'll have to go home and brush my teeth, because I can feel my teeth up. And he said, why do you have to brush teeth? I said, because it's all full of sugar. I can feel it on my teeth. He said, I don't want you to ever drink that again, he said to me. This is no benefit. It's killing me. But I'm just so used to it. And then afterwards I thought, yeah, why do I have this? Another time we were driving down the 401 coming into Toronto, and we're looking at the big brown patch over top of the city. And as we got to Morningside Drive up in Scarborough, he goes, oh, alhamdulillah, Daddy, look, the sky's starting to turn blue. I thought, wow, how sad that the kids are noticing. Oh, look, the sky's blue. Well, that's interesting. I've never seen that before. And yet this is the place we want to be. The things around us that we're taking as amusement are killing us. The food in our grocery stores. When you go into a grocery store and you've got 13 aisles of boxed food that doesn't go bad for about 4 months. And you've got one aisle of fresh produce. And even that produce is soaked in chemicals to keep it green and fluffy. We're killing ourselves. We are literally killing ourselves. The TV that we sit and we tune out on, how much exercise do we get? I raced with Imran at the park yesterday, and after I go 4 feet, I'm panting and I'm out of breath and I'm in pain. I'm thinking, why? Because I sit on the internet all day. That's why. Because I don't remember what it feels like to climb a tree anymore. Because I'm so far away from really understanding what amusement and joy and beauty is all about that I can't even understand anymore what it means to be amused. Story of two friends of mine, they went fishing. They have a garden in their backyard, and they brought along some baby cucumbers. When I was growing up, I knew somebody who was a farmer, and he pulled a joke on me one time because I thought that pickles were a breed of their own. And so he gave me, for my birthday, he said, oh, here you go, Dave, here's some pickle seeds. And I was like, oh, thank you. That's excellent. I'm going to plant these. And he started laughing. And that's when I asked, what's going on? What's so funny? He said, there's no such thing as pickle seeds. Pickles are actually baby cucumbers that have been pickled in vinegar. I didn't know that. So a friend of mine grows baby cucumbers in his backyard. He went on a fishing trip, took along some baby cucumbers, same size as pickles, because they're what you use to make pickles. And there was a Western Canadian guy there. And they said, you want a snack? He said, sure. They handed him one of these baby cucumbers. And he looked at it. He goes, it's pickle. Oh, no. It's not a pickle. How do you eat it? What do you do? And they said, you put it in your mouth and you bite. And he was like, you can just do that? He didn't know you could eat a baby cucumber. That's how far away we are from understanding the natural things that Allah has created for us. That's how far away we are from Muhammad SAW telling us, go barefoot once in a while. Learn to swim. Go. How many of you have been horseback riding in your lives? How many of you know how to swim? Man, these are two basic things. Basic things Muhammad SAW taught us to do. And we don't do them. Because we're so far away from the things that are naturally stimulating, that give us life. To us, amusement is tuning out. And what makes me the most sad, as I wrap this up, is when you look at the lives of young people, and although these people I'm going to give you two examples of are not Muslim, but to think that it doesn't happen in the Muslim community is wrong. And I could give you examples of this, and maybe I should, or maybe it would shock you too much. I don't know. But really what makes me sick, 2 weeks ago, within the last 3 weeks, in Kitchener, where I live, told you about, little town, little tiny little, you think, you know, small place, people don't get into too much mischief there, not really. One girl, 15 years old, went with a friend of hers to some party on a Friday night. Some guy in his 40s owns an island in a little lake not too far away from Kitchener, and they went to go party on his island. And that 15-year-old girl, I don't know whether she had a headache or whether she wasn't feeling well or somebody just slipped her something to try and be funny, but she was found the next morning dead in the gentleman's bed. She'd been abused, and she had appeared to have died from a drug overdose. And the guy said, I don't know, I didn't give her anything. I wonder how it happened. They did the autopsy, and sure enough, while they were doing the autopsy, they found out that it was, in fact, she had been given a drug overdose, lethal dosage of some really tame drug that's normally tame, but she had been given a lot of it. Meanwhile, the guy hit the road. He was gone. I don't know whether they're still searching for him or whether they found him. Made me sick to think a 15-year-old girl was looking for amusement. I'm just going out with my friends. We're just going to have some fun. We're just going to escape from reality for a little while. Actually, when it comes down to it, she escaped from life. Maybe she didn't intend to. Maybe that was somebody else's fond idea of amusement. But that little girl wasn't too amused. As if that's not bad enough, 2 weeks later, another 15-year-old girl in Kitchener was found dead in her boyfriend's bed the next morning from an overdosage of something that somebody slipped her and she didn't know was lethal. Now, it's not to suggest that we are going to get into those sorts of environments, because alhamdulillah, I like to pray that we are believers, that we try our best to stick close to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us. I like to pray and hope that that's the situation we're in. But what I can tell you about situations that I've been brought face to face with, where sisters in hijab are going to visit brothers in the middle of the night, coming out in the morning, brothers are doing the same thing, where sisters in hijab are writing me hopelessly, telling me they want to kill themselves because they keep making mistakes, and when we trace it back, we find out that they've been abused in their past and their lives are just going way off kilter. And during the day, no one would know. But at night, that's when the problems come. So we might think, alhamdulillah, we're not like those people that I saw last night. But aren't we? Are we? How close is it to us? How close is it to us? How easy is it going to be for us to get roped into that concept of amusement? Maybe because we're depressed and we want to escape from reality. As Brother Jiwan said, amusement is not about escape. It's not about hiding. It's not about running away and trying to blank your mind out. That's not amusement. That's a coward. That's somebody who needs help. Amusement is coming to terms with life, with being, you know, excited about life, about having opportunities to feel a thrill, to feel excitement. And that's what a lot of these brothers and sisters or young people think they're going to get when they go out to the pub, when they go out, you know, and you know, rent video after video after video. Really what they get is they get sucked in. They get sucked into the addictive nature. Because then when you wake up in the morning, that snort you had last night wasn't enough. When you wake up in the morning, that sex you had last night, it wasn't enough. Until eventually you get so caught up into it, you don't even know how to get out. And it starts small. It starts with us, and it starts with us taking it seriously and making a change in our lives. And if we don't know how to find natural, earthy ways to be inspired and to feel good, then maybe we can help one another to do that. Maybe there's a way that we can get together and do something together. You know, Brother Jiwan was talking about getting involved in the community. Imagine if 10 or 15 of you who want to be amused but don't know how to amuse yourselves in a halal way, what if the whole group of you goes out to a retirement residence? And as a group, you spend time reading to the elderly people who are in that residence. You know what's going to happen if you do it on a regular basis? You're going to create bonds and friendships with those people. They're going to last, and they're going to stick in your mind for the rest of your life, and they're going to stick in the minds of those people until those people go to the grave. And maybe, maybe even there'll be some doubt in the process. And during that experience, you're actually going to feel pleasure. You're going to feel what it feels like to touch somebody's life. You're going to feel what it feels like to laugh with somebody who's in their 80s and hear them tell you stories about their life. If you work with a child who's disabled, mentally handicapped, you might think, what is this person who's Down syndrome able to offer me? You ever gone to the park with someone who has Down syndrome or somebody who's mentally handicapped? They go very slow, and you've got to go slowly with them. And they're going to notice the bunnies, and they're going to notice the flowers, and they're going to notice the sun, and maybe they'll help you notice it. And maybe then you'll know why Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam urged us to go barefoot. Maybe you'll know why Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam urged us to learn how to swim. Maybe you'll learn why Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam urged us to spend time together with brothers and sisters. Just because my son doesn't want to pedal means that he's never going to know what that freedom and that beauty and that true amusement is all about. If we don't try and pedal a little bit, find a way to amuse ourselves, inspire the muse within us, inspire ourselves to do something, that's the way to keep from amusing ourselves to death. And maybe, instead of amusing ourselves to the point of boredom and death, we can begin to amuse ourselves to life. Begin to amuse ourselves to life and that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me if I said anything which has gone against what He's revealed to us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me if I did anything wrong last night going out. But I think one thing that I learned is that that's where I don't want to go back to. And that's one thing that I don't want my sisters and brothers to experience. And that's one thing that I hope the brother who I spoke with last night will realize he's better than all that. And inshallah, maybe you hear a recording in the next few months that's got a brother drumming on it. Inshallah, make dua for all of us that we can all keep ourselves away from amusing ourselves to death.